You're listening to the Growing Leaders Podcast, episode number 18. Thanks for joining us on this episode of the Growing Leaders Podcast. We've got a very special episode today. We've got a guest calling in, and Tim's going to be interviewing Carol Dweck. So, Tim, why don't you introduce Miss Carol to us?
Thanks, Jim. I am very, very excited to have one of my heroes that I've never met in person, but have just met on the phone, Carol Dweck. Carol is now at Stanford University, has been there for a number of years, but did a lot of her work, I believe, at Columbia. That's right, Carol, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So she moved from the east to the west. And Carol, I hear, do you still wear a lot of black? Is that the story on the street?
The rumor has gotten around. Okay. I still dress yes. like a New okay. Yorker.
Well, I hear you look good in black. So
thank you.
You betcha. In case our listeners are new to Carol, you probably have heard indirectly from Carol. Carol is being quoted everywhere. She's written a number of articles and books, but the book that most impacted me was a book called Mindset, which we'll talk about in just a little bit. Carol went to Yale and has just been very, very helpful, really speaking to adults, whether they're faculty, parents, coaches, you name it, really understanding how our minds work and particularly how we can better lead students. So, Carol, if you're okay, I'm going to jump right in. Are you doing well today?
I'm doing very well today. Thank
good,
you.
Good. Is the weather nice in California?
It's perfect.
Yeah, it always is. And it's crazy that way. Well, Carol, let me just right off the bat, your book Mindset has been a groundbreaking piece that has helped so many teachers and parents, and probably well beyond that, rethink how they lead students.
Mm-hmm.
But the book's big idea isn't limited to kids. Talk about your major theme in this book.
The major theme of the book is a big theme that has come out of my research, where we have found that some people, kids and adults, think of their most basic traits, their intelligence, their talents and abilities, as just fixed. You have a certain amount, and that's that. This fixed mindset becomes very limiting because people are so worried about how much they have. Will I look smart? Will I look dumb? Can I do this? Can I not do this? That they don't take on challenges. They don't stick to them. They don't learn as much as they could. Mm-hmm. But other people believe their most basic talents and abilities can be developed through their efforts, their perseverance, their strategies, and help, guidance, mentoring from others. This growth mindset leads people to take on more challenges. They don't worry, will I look smart or dumb? I can get more of this mm-hmm. talent and ability. They stick to things and they end up accomplishing more in the long run.
I love it. So the two terms you're using is a fixed mindset, which basically says, mm-hmm. I just only have so much. And then the growth mindset, which says the sky's the limit, or if it's not the sky's the limit, I have room to grow. I can continue growing the rest of my life.
Exactly. A growth mindset doesn't promise you that you can be Einstein or Michael mm-hmm. Jordan, but it does say you can improve, and who knows how much you can improve.
Absolutely. Carol, I think I've shared enough about what we do at Growing Leaders to let you know we work with students. That's the end mm-hmm. user of our goods and services, but our direct customer is a teacher. A coach, mm-hmm. and very often they get stuck in this fixed mindset that these kids are, they would never say it this way, but these kids are dumb, they're limited, they're just not going to make it. And boy, that can be the kids usually live up to the expectations of those around them, don't they? Those people that lead them.
Yes, exactly. We've worked in a lot of schools where teachers have given up on the students, mm-hmm. and we've been able to get really dramatic changes within a relatively short time. So it's really important for a teacher to recognize, or a coach to recognize, this student may be struggling now, but when they get through this period of struggle, who knows what they're capable of? Mm-hmm. And my job is to see what's lurking under the surface here. My job is to release what this student is capable of. Mm-hmm. It's also critical for teachers to have growth mindsets about themselves.
Yeah.
That teaching is an incredibly difficult profession, and it's one where your skills are going to grow throughout your whole career. Mm-hmm. A really constructive stance is for teachers to think, every student can teach me something. Mm-hmm. Every student can make me a better teacher.
I'd love to dig a little deeper, Carol. Share with our listeners what led you to research young students. You had a hunch, if I can say it that way, that maybe we were saying the wrong things, praising the wrong things. Mm-hmm. So talk about what you did at Columbia that really got this thing moving.
Well, when I was at Columbia, it was kind of the height of the self-esteem movement.
Yeah.
Where the gurus were saying, here's how you give your kid the gift of confidence. Tell them how smart they are. Tell them how brilliant and talented they are. And we have shown in over 15 years of research now that that backfires. Mm. Praising intelligence and abilities puts kids into a fixed mindset and limits them. It makes them afraid of challenges. It makes them give up easily. It makes them feel dumb when they're not succeeding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And some of the most high-achieving students start suffering from this. They start thinking, oh, they told me I was smart because I could do everything so easily. Mm-hmm. Now it's not so easy. Maybe I'm not smart after all.
Yeah.
And they start backing off of their schoolwork. So, what's the alternative? We have found that praising, encouraging, appreciating the process that the child engages in is really productive. Mm. What do I mean by process? The strategies your child uses, the effort they put in, the persistence, even taking on a challenging task is admirable. And the more you focus kids on the process of learning and improving, the more they'll welcome challenges and the more they'll stick to them. These are the tools they need to succeed in life. The relishing of challenges, the welcoming of difficulty, and the ability to stick to those hard tasks over time. This is the gift you can give your kids.
Yeah, that totally makes sense to me. But yet, I got to tell you, in our work, as we meet with thousands of parents and thousands of teachers, this is a little bit of a counterintuitive idea, at least from what the pressure of culture tells us. Tell your kid they're smart, they're beautiful, they're this, they're that. But those are all fixed. And the kid thinks, well, if I'm smart, I shouldn't have to work so hard. Or if I'm beautiful, I should get a free ticket here. And
exactly.
So talk about why you believe adults maybe get this concept wrong. Is it just we've all heard each other say, tell your kid you're smarter? Why do so many of us get this wrong?
I think there are several reasons. One is, yes, we have been brainwashed by our culture to think that this is the biggest gift we can give our kids, that we can hand them this confidence through this praise. So that's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing is, it's almost become synonymous with being a good parent to dish out this praise. A good parent does this. And, you know, you don't want to be a bad parent by withholding something that everyone thinks is good. And I think another reason is we want to think that our kids are brilliant, special geniuses, because by extension, whether it's nature or nurture, by extension, we are wonderful.
Absolutely.
We spawn these little geniuses, and it reflects beautifully on us. And yet, again, we have found repeatedly that praising talents, abilities, intelligence backfires. We just published a study showing that mothers praise to their babies 1 to 3 years of age predicts that child's mindset and desire for challenge 5 years later.
Wow.
The mothers who gave more process praise had kids who had more of a growth mindset and a greater desire for challenge 5 years later.
Goodness. So the first now, 2 years are critical.
Yeah, it's never too late to change.
Yeah.
Kids can always hear that change when you change, but it starts early.
Wow. I want to, again, dig a little bit deeper here, only because I'm so fascinated by this idea. It's a fundamental change in the way we talk and think as mm-hmm. we relate to students. When you were at Columbia, I'm not going to get this exactly right probably, but you when you divided the kids up into groups, and the one group of kids were told, you must be smart, and the other group was told, you must have really tried hard. That's when this became apparent, isn't it? I mean, they responded differently.
Totally differently. The kids who were told you were smart after they did a task, when we offered them a choice of tasks after that, they wanted the easy one. Mm. We like to say they didn't want to risk their newly yeah. minted gifted label. But the kids who were praised for the process, their effort or strategy, overwhelmingly wanted the challenge. Hmm. They had nothing to risk. They only yeah. had things to gain. Later, when we gave everyone a difficult set of problems, those who were praised for the process thrived. But those who were praised for their intelligence started to crumble. They lost their confidence. They thought, oh, if success means I'm smart, failure, struggle must mean I'm not. Mm. They lost their zest for the task.
Yeah.
Even when we went back to the easier problems, their performance suffered. And later, when we asked them to report their score to another child, 40% of them lied.
Wow. Interesting. 38%. Just to sustain this image I've got. Yeah.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yes. Because in a fixed mindset, it's humiliating.
Yeah, sure.
To struggle even on hard and new problems. But those who have been praised for the process stayed really involved in the hard problems. Many of them said they were their favorites.
Isn't that something, that they love the challenge? They love the hard thing.
Yes, they stuck to it. They learned things from the challenging problems. And so when we went back to the easier ones, they were doing even better than ever. And this was an IQ test, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
That they were doing better on because we praised their process.
Yeah.
And then when we asked them to report their scores, they told the truth.
Mm. Wow. You know, here's a thought that just raced through my mind, Carol. We live in a world, and I don't want to get too philosophical here, but we live in a world where technology has made our lives faster and easier, more convenient, more quick. And that can actually work against the notion that I can grow. We don't want, in fact, it actually works against this growth or process mindset. A kid, the number one thing we hear K-12 teachers tell us is the kids are saying, well, this is too hard. This is too hard. This is too hard. This is too hard. And it's as if they're so used to the convenience of the smartphone in their hand, they don't want to do anything that's harder. That means, to me, it's all the more important in the day we live in to foster this growth mindset, this process.
Absolutely. When you have everything readily at your fingertips and you don't have to think it through. Yeah. And yes, on the other hand, there are so many challenging things that you can be doing through technology. So it's a matter of teaching kids to welcome hard tasks.
Wow.
It's parents and teachers conveying a new value system. Reacting when a child says, oh, look what I did, and it was easy for them. You say, oh, this is too easy. I'm sorry you wasted your time. let's do something you can learn from. And the whole idea is that easy, it's boring, it's a waste of time. It's not something I admire.
Yeah.
So you did well on something easy. Why bother? And so the new value system is hard. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. That's fun. That's worthwhile.
Yeah.
That's what we should be teaching our kids. Mm. Is everything in our lives easy? No. We have to know how to relish that difficulty and power through it.
So let's take 30 seconds real quick, Carol, make this very concrete for a listener that might need the concrete. Give me some things that we could say instead of "you must be smart." Mm-hmm. You've already given a few already, but could you maybe just list what are some things we ought to be saying?
Yeah, we can say, "Interesting strategy. Tell me about what you're doing." Or, "Wow, you really stuck to that and look." Mm. "You took on that hard project. You're going to learn a lot." Hmm. And we also use this language about how your brain grows its neurons.
Yeah, yeah.
How the neural connections get stronger. So this is really hard. You're really going to grow those neurons in your brain. Hmm. Telling him, "Yes, when you stick to hard problems, your math brain gets smarter." Hmm. Those are all things that we see are very, very effective.
Well, and what's great about that is you're still affirming, you're just changing where your affirmation goes. So they get the affirmation and they achieve something, which I think self-esteem comes from both affirmation and achievement. I got to do something to feel good about myself.
Yes, exactly. And it may not come flowing off the lips right away, but over time it will.
Yeah, good. Well, let me ask you another question. And you kind of touched on this already, so you may just say, "Tim, I've already touched on that." But what are your recommendations? If you were just sitting down with a group, as I know you do, of adults, caring adults, teachers, parents, coaches, youth workers, what would be some recommendations on how we can correct ourselves? One would be what you just said, just affirm differently. Would there be anything else you would say to try to correct how we lead young people?
Yes, I would say put the emphasis on learning and improvement.
Okay.
Not on results, not on the child's ability. We have found over and over that the results, be it in school or sports, the results are a natural byproduct of the child engaging deeply and effectively in the learning process. So focus on that learning and improvement. The attention, the comments, the appreciation should be for that learning process and the improvement that it brings. I might also mention we're doing research on a word now. The word is "yet." Hmm. And it's a beautiful growth mindset word.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if the child comes home from school, they had a hard day, they say, "I'm no good in math," you say, "yet."
Mm.
Or teacher saying, hearing a child say, I'm no good at this yet, I can't do it yet." Mm. It puts the child back on a learning trajectory.
Yeah, and a hope trajectory. I have hope.
Yes.
Yeah.
And also the teacher or parent is saying, "I have confidence that you can do it. You're on your way to doing it."
Mm, love that.
And finally, never tell kids you're not a math person. Mm. Or such fixed phrases as that.
Yeah.
You know, we're rushing in to make our kids feel good. We don't want them to experience a moment of self-doubt.
Yeah.
And we can, don't worry, not everyone can be good at this. But what are you saying? You're saying, "I don't think you can be good at this."
Mm-hmm.
And moreover, you don't have to try in this area ever again. I'm giving up on you. You can give up on yourself. And it's okay. You know, it turns out that so many kids who struggle in an area like math are just struggling temporarily.
Yeah.
They don't understand something. And once they understand it, they can become quite good at math. We have no idea where they could go if they persevere. So guide them towards strategies. Get them some help. Keep them in the game.
That makes total sense. I love it. In fact, what I love about this most is it actually ends up producing, the end result is producing the very thing that the teacher or parent wanted to in the first place, that they score better, the results come in, and so forth. And especially, I'm thinking, Carol, the late bloomers. I love the word yet, because there are, we're all late blooming in something, it seems like, but that doesn't mean
exactly.
We're never going to get it. Yeah.
And one thing that's wrong in our society and in many societies is the idea that quick learning is good learning.
Mm.
And we're too quick to label kids who aren't learning everything immediately. Einstein said he was slow. Everyone thought they knew what motion, mass, energy were. And he kept thinking, I don't get it. Eventually, of course, he revolutionized our thinking.
Absolutely.
So slower learning is sometimes deeper learning.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, a crock pot, not a microwave. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you touched on the word yet just a minute ago. I have a couple more questions I want to ask you before I let you get back to your regularly scheduled programming. what are some current ideas and projects you're working on? You mentioned the word yet, but is there anything else that has intrigued you or engaged you right now in your career?
We are working now very vigorously, my colleagues and I, my students and I, on interventions, workshops, programs that can change students' mindsets to help them adopt more of a growth mindset and to help them become better students. Mm. So that's one very strong focus of my research.
Love that.
We're also with my former student, David Yeager, spearheaded this, the study of bullying and victimization and how that can grow out of a fixed mindset about people and that the wish for violent retaliation can also come out of more of a fixed mindset. So we're very concerned with this problem in our schools, and we're really going at it very vigorously.
I love it. That would be a huge bit of progress if we could begin to figure that out. No doubt about
mm-hmm.
it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I have one last question for you, Carol, and I've kind of left it wide open, but I want you to imagine if you were just sitting in front of a caring parent or teacher and they ask you for one single piece of advice when it comes to leading young people well. You've said many good things already, but what would be the one piece of advice you'd give today?
Keep your child focused on growing.
Mm.
On growing that brain through doing hard things and sticking to them.
Yeah.
This, as I said before, is the greatest gift you can give them. It will serve them very well throughout their lives.
Makes sense. Yeah. In fact, you know, I can be 50 years old and I still need to hear that or think that. So that's pretty timeless. Pretty timeless. Carol, I'm going to embarrass you now. Thank you for coming. You are a hero of mine. Thank you for what you've written and researched. Thank you for setting teams in place that are now joining forces with you to really solve the challenges we have as adults who want to just praise our kids, but without thinking sometimes. So thanks for all you do. Keep it up. And I'll look forward to the next time we get a chance to talk.
Wonderful.
Well, thanks for joining us on this episode of the Growing Leaders Podcast. What a great time we had with Ms. Carol as we heard her latest research on the word yet.
When we say that to kids, you know, maybe you're just not that math person, it really gives the student or the child the permission to not to try anymore, just to give up right then. So looking ahead in June, we are hosting our National Leadership Forum here in Atlanta. You can go to our website, growingleaders.com, and find more information there. But we're going to be wrestling with this subject. Our theme is adjusting the sails, and we're going to talk about how, with education specifically, we need to find better ways to lead the kids. So no longer giving them the permission to quit or to give up, but to keep striving harder and learn about how to praise the process, like Ms. Carroll said. And also, if you want to read into further on what Ms. Carroll shared with us today, you can go to Amazon.com and purchase a book. It's called Mindset. And so you can pick up a copy and dig further on your own time as well. Until next time, thanks so much for joining us on this episode of the Growing Leaders Podcast.